Hey guys, this is John
and Austin
and Brett.
And another episode of the Meat Justics podcast. I guess we should have made it clear we'd come to you after that. Presented by Walton's.
Well, he's not really a guest, though.
He's still a guest.
I want to be part of the team.
He's still a guest.
One of the guys.
Which you are, but you're also still a guest on this. And we usually treat our guests nicely and introduce them after we've opened.
So this is like different.
Patrick wants to argue that. Patrick opened his mouth there, I'm going to start with this. Brett, do you know Patrick called you a girl the other day?
No.
You absolutely did.
What did I do?
He knows that I can't remember the context of it, but I wrote down Patrick calls Brett a girl.
Oh, no, you lied about something. I talked about something, you go, I'm just going to say that you called
Brett. No, that's not what happened.
I'm sorry,
yes. No. Yeah, well, what's the You know why? You can tell he's not laughing. If you accuse him of something and he didn't do it, he's going to laugh. If he did do it, he's not going to laugh. It's an easy tell with Patrick. Okay, so we've got Brett here. Couple of reasons. The number one thing was I wanted to get your rundown on Pheasant Fest. You and your wife went up there, met some people. Tell us a little bit about it.
Went up to Pheasant Fest. It was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of the people that we work with. The Ron Scherer group and Scott Franson and Travis Frank and Travis that hosts the Flush, and got to spend some time with Tyler Webster from Birds, Buds, and Booze podcast. Yep. And Ron Bain from Hunting Dog podcast, and got to spend time, Nick Hoffman with Nick's Wild Ride. So got to talk with all those guys, had some fun doing that, and did some of their events that they had. So all that was great. But then again, I'm an upland hunter, so I got to walk around and look at all kinds of cool stuff that I thought I should have. You always find something to buy.
Were there cute puppies up there again?
So I love dogs. I've got bird dogs, and so that's all fun. But my wife, that's all she's interested in is just the dogs. So they have the bird dog parade at the beginning of it. There was 120 dogs, like 40 breeds, all hunting dogs. So we had to be there early, get in line so we could see all the dogs coming down across the stage and hearing what their owners are and all that kind of stuff. And then all those people were walking around, especially on Friday. They're all walking around and it's packed. It was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So it's packed full of people. The aisles are jammed. And then there's people walking through with dogs. And I'm walking along. And then I realize I've left my wife because she's petting some dog in the middle of the aisle somewhere. I told her, I go, can you imagine what all those dogs were thinking? Because they were smelling the other 40 dogs you just petted.
Yep.
So.
And not only that, but all the people in there, all the excitement. I'm surprised no one's gotten bit.
Yeah, most of those dogs are well trained.
Yeah, but still, just like in nervousness.
Yeah,
I guess
those these aren't dogs like your dogs. Yeah, John.
If my dog gets nervous, someone's getting bit. That's how it goes.
Think of our dogs. Our dogs, you know, my two dogs, they're not going to be aggressive.
Fair. Didn't you meet somebody who had pretty much an exact Gruber?
I did. Met a guy that owns a Tetra hearing suppression company, and he had a dog laying in his booth that was. I'm like, man, that dog looks like my dog. My dog's name is Gruber. And so I ask him, I go, is that a wire heron? Or no, it's actually a half wire hair, half short hair. And I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I've got. So, yeah, he looked a lot like Gruber.
What did he have to say about the dog as a hunting dog?
Oh, he's a good dog.
Good dog.
He liked him.
Yeah. I mean, Gruber's a good hunting dog, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We like to give him a hard time, but he does a good job. Do you remember the last time we went hunting? The guy we went with is like, make sure your dog stays within, I don't remember, it was 20 yards or 40 yards or something. We don't want him going past that. We were all kind of like, is Gruber going to do that? Gruber did great. The guy who was guiding us dog was like 80 yards out, constantly flushing birds. And we're like, you going to do anything about that? So that was pretty funny.
Gruber normally runs that 100-yard range.
But no,
I usually hold him in 100 yards. I'll just beep his collar and he'll come back. But I feel more comfortable because if he goes on point, if it's a quail, they'll hold till I get up there. If it's pheasant, a lot of times they want to run on him.
Yeah.
And that makes him crazy.
Well, it was super dry all I remember from that one was picking burrs out of a couple dogs' paws constantly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that was a good.
So we got this really cool thing at Pheasant Fest. It's you can stick your hand in it and you rub it across like your sleeve or something. If you got those like stickers and stuff on them,
uh-huh.
and it pulls them right off, or you can do it on your dog and all the little grass seeds and stuff like that. Yeah,
and it actually works.
And it works.
Oh wow!
Well, it did in the guy's booth, so I gave him like, I don't know, 20, 30 bucks, and he gave me one. I haven't tried it yet. So
that's because that can be a pain. Even and not obviously on your dogs too, but even just on your clothes, that can be a pain.
Oh yeah.
Did you run into Sam from Ready Rest up there?
Actually, he sat at our table.
Oh, okay.
Saturday night, but you know me, he's on the other side of a table with eight people around it, so didn't really get to talk to him much. Sure. He talked, but I couldn't hear him. Yeah. So. It was kind of crazy. Big banquet. And Travis Frank was the host of the banquet. So that was kind of a fun deal, because when they'd have a break and Travis wouldn't be on stage, and he'd come over and he'd come and sit down next to me. And I'm like, God, I feel so cool. I get to sit next to the host, Travis Frank. That's
Travis,
awesome.
Travis is a good MC. He's pretty much good at anything that involves talking. He does a pretty good job at.
He did well. He did well.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for catching us up on that. While we have you here, figured we take advantage of this to ask a few questions for our commercial customers who like to listen in. Now, don't get overly impressed by Brett's answers. I prepped him. I gave him these questions earlier, so these aren't off the top of his head.
But I forgot.
Great. So let's see how this goes.
John, I've kind of been busy today.
No. What are you doing? Nothing that sounds important, I'm sure. All right.
Watching basketball. No, I haven't had time to.
God, I can't make myself care. All right. If you could give a commercial
process. Are you going to pick teams, though, for the bracket?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But it'll just be guesses or which mascot is cooler. Those are the really the ways.
I mean, give away prizes and then there's bragging rights never around here. Win it. So okay.
In my entire life, I don't think I've ever won an NCAA bracket.
No, the people that are the most serious are the people that don't win.
That's true.
Huh.
That's been the experience here.
I mean, it's been a few years since I won, but. Okay, but I have won before, and
you came in the money.
No, won. It's been a few years. It's probably been 4 or 5 years.
Right,
I won before too, but
I like it when you guys win, because then third and fourth and fifth place, dude.
Right, yeah. It's just proves out, like, no, we can't win. Oh no, yeah,
we rule ourselves out.
So you didn't really win,
but it's not for the gift card though. It's for the bragging rights. I just like to walk around, you know.
Gift card's nice though.
It's kind of a dad joke thing there, Patrick.
Oh. All right. So if you could give a commercial processor one piece of advice, what would it be?
So I did remember you saying that. So I think the one thing is, over my years of dealing with commercial processors, is, to remember it's a business. And I mean, a lot of them get in the middle of doing the day-to-day work and forget some of the long-term stuff. And most of our customers, not all of them, but many of our customers on the commercial side are family businesses. They're multi-generation businesses. And I think I would like to encourage them all to spend more time thinking about succession planning and next generation and what that looks like, and getting the next generation involved in the ownership process at an early age.
Okay. When you and your dad were working real close together, is that something you focused on at some point?
I mean, yeah, kind of. We kind of had a plan when we went. We were a little different because he had started the business. But whenever I came in with him, we bought another business, mm-hmm. and combined them. So from the beginning, I had a different role. It wasn't like he owned the business and I came up working for him. So that was a little bit different. And my dad's smaller than me, so I just pushed him aside. And no, I'm just kidding. No, my dad was – he was – ready at a fairly younger age to be less involved.
To step back.
Yeah.
Okay. What's one piece of equipment that a commercial processor and our target customer, the small to medium size, should buy?
They should buy not all of them, but most of them should buy a better smokehouse or a new smokehouse. It's the one piece of equipment that's probably going to generate the most income for them. They need a saw and a grinder and a other pieces of equipment too, the sausage stuff or whatever. But I always encourage our customers to really consider a smokehouse, whether it's a new, if they're building a new plant, don't leave that part out. You got to buy a nice smokehouse. And then if they're got an existing plant, you know, maybe they need to upgrade and maybe they need to add to their smokehouse capacity. I think over time, that was so much the easy answer for the last 20 years. But in the last 5 to 10 years, it also jumps into the question of, well, should a vacuum sausage stuffer be in that group instead? Because labor costs have become such a big part of what they do. More and more of the guys out there are figuring out now that, hey, that $50,000 vacuum stuffer, whatever it costs, is going to pay for itself. And, you know, over the years, guys say, well, I can't afford a $50,000 stuffer. And my response is always, you already are paying for it. You're paying for it in your payroll every week. So
with the vacuum stuffer, it's labor savings cost. Mm-hmm. With the smoker, it's ability to charge a premium for smoked products.
Yeah. Or to actually, charge for smoked products where that maybe they're not doing any of that currently. If they have a retail, they can sell extra stuff through their retail. But even if they're doing, wild game processing, there's wild game processors out there that are just paying, they're charging, so many dollars for each deer that come in. Whereas if they'd had a smokehouse, they would be making summer sausage, snack sticks. And so instead of just charging $70 for that one deer or whatever they charge, they're also getting another $100 over here for all this product that goes to their smokehouse. And you can run the numbers on it pretty easily to figure out how to pay for a smokehouse.
Okay.
And then it's a business deal. So you got the cost of that equipment that you can write off. And so there's some other things there.
From an accounting standpoint.
Yeah. So that adds to it too.
A product that they should make, I'm sure that's a little bit different by area, or a service that they should offer.
Did you ask me that? I don't remember that one.
I did.
A product they should make. I think they should make something they're not currently making. And so it depends on who they are. So, and they should make something new next year, and they should make something new year after that. And maybe they quit making something that they were making. If they can only handle so many different items, and I understand that, well, you got to add something new in occasionally. We do that here with, we always say though, hey, we're going to add some jerky blends. We're going to add some summer sausage blends. But we never get rid of anything.
No, we definitely do.
Just add to it.
We do.
To be honest, on jerky seasonings, broth seasonings, stuff like that, we don't typically take away because what we add, it sells.
Yeah, it works. I know.
But look at our full product line, and we're constantly adding stuff and then removing something else. Like overall, we definitely are increasing the amount of things we have and not taking away as fast.
But I guess I'm just thinking seasonings. On seasonings, they're very, very seldom we remove something.
Yeah, usually if we remove something, it's because we can no longer get access to it.
Yeah.
There are some of the bigger swings like Tuscan Hills vodka sausage, whatever. Mm, yeah. They were just like, all right, nobody wants this. Yeah. We're not carrying this anymore. But in general, we carry something as long as our vendors do.
Yeah, over the years, we added pumpkin brat. And I thought, well, that'll come, then we'll get rid of it. But no, then people keep buying it, so.
So for 3 months of the year, though. Our stock goes to nothing for about 6 months of the year. And then you buy it, bring it in, and you sell a lot over a few months.
I was very, because we were still next door when that first came in. I was very against that. And it was actually your daughter who convinced me to try making a batch. And then do you remember she injected it with cream cheese or frosting?
I forgot about that.
That was pretty good.
Now I want one.
That was
because that was why delicious. Didn't
I
cook that
those? I should have cooked those. We took chocolate chili bratwurst. We went into Susie's office and stole all of her Heath Bar little mini bars. We crunched them up with a pestle and put them in there and then cooked them. They were pretty legit.
Wait, did you put it in the sausage or cook the sausage in there?
Nope. We put that inside the sausage and then stuffed it. They were not bad. The pieces that got like a good amount of the melted chocolate tasted really good.
I'm mostly concerned. Did you comp Susie for the stolen product?
Yeah. Okay. Right. I told her I haven't yet, but I will.
He said thank you.
That's her comp. In fact, Walter then came later with like more handfuls. I'm like, I don't need that. And then I started crushing things up. I'm like, yeah, I need those. So that was helpful. But I should have cooked that. They were pretty good. All right. A couple of just quick things coming up here in the next couple of weeks. I'll have an expert on celery juice and cherry juice powder on the podcast to go over that in a little bit more detail. People seem to find that portion of Ryan and my conversation from Balchem's discussion interesting. So we're going to dive into it a little bit deeper. We're also just... As a reminder, the Marinade Express Pro is finally back in stock. It's on the website and ready to ship. So if you've been waiting for a Marinade Express Pro, we have them now at the old price. The next time we have to order them, they are going to go up considerably. There will be a price bump. So if you want one at the old price, you have to get it pretty much right now because they're going to be gone soon. And then it's been a while since I did this, but I was looking through, every once in a while we used to go through, DuckDuckGo and Google and just search meat under the news section and be amazed at how many of those articles are actually about fake meat, like the either sell or like alternate. It seems like the bias has kind of started to turn back around because both of them out of the top 10 stories, only four of them were about fake or alternate meat. One of them was about wrestling, Patrick. I figured you'd find that interesting.
What?
Don't know why. It was, some guy's name is meat or beef or something. I don't know.
Are all the rest of the stories about the high cost of beef?
No. Oh, they were kind of all over the place.
Bruce the Barber
Beefcake. It seems like it was a current day guy. I don't know.
That's Hulk Hogan's best friend.
But I found that interesting because... Definitely have seen more negative articles over the last 6 months about the meat alternative and cell-based meat thing than we've ever seen in the past. So it does kind of seem like the tides are turning there.
It's interesting because, yeah, that definitely used to be like a flip of what, yeah, what that was. I'm going to say that it was up to like 6 to 8 were fake meat.
No, it was like, yeah, like 8. It was usually in the 7 to 8.
Yep. You raged. A lot.
Oh, I did. It made me really mad.
It was like weeks and weeks and weeks in a row where it was just like it was being forced down our throats. Yep. On everything. You couldn't find other news articles.
Nope. It was. Yeah. Let's not talk about it.
But the market won out.
Eventually. It took a long time for the media to be like, okay, I guess this isn't working. And then one of the stories we're going to talk about is kind of... revolves around that. All right. So Monique sent us something, asked Austin and I if we wanted to try some Swedish candy. Apparently, there is no artificial flavorings or coloring in this. It is all just straight either sugar, chocolate, or natural ingredients. She gave us two different bags. So grab a piece of candy. You can have some too, Brett.
I'm very glad that you would like some. Unless someone is still playing a joke on me, like I'm glad that it's actually like legit because I was just figuring that Monique was like thinking like, oh, we'll at barbecue stuff and we eat weird, gross things. That's why in the email back, I was like, I'm going to let John decide if we're going to be blessed or tortured by this.
So what is special about this?
It has no artificial sweeteners, no artificial dyes, colorings, anything like that. There was significantly more in that when she gave it to me. Just FYI.
Colorful stuff, dude. I'm telling you. Oh, is there stuff?
This is banana.
Oh, are you enjoying
it? I am enjoying it.
Is it a banana?
Oh, no. It's like banana marshmallow.
Oh, wow.
Or something. No. Do you want to rip off a side of that?
No. No, I just was concerned when you pulled it out and the appearance of it reminded me of Austin's hot tub story.
We had a Code Brown in the hot tub a few nights ago. My 2-year-old daughter, things weren't quite regular. And as like, I watched her do it as I'm like getting her out of, it was like 2 seconds before I'm getting her out of the tub. So as I'm picking her up, like it's just all going away and it went everywhere. I immediately shut the breaker, opened the drain and we started flushing that baby fast.
Did you squeeze her too hard or something?
I don't know. Just, I think the warm temperatures. No, yeah. Oh, baby, so
how old is she?
Technically, yeah, you're technically not. I keep the hot tub at like 99 because I don't like hot tubs. So you can go like as like babies. I want to say they say don't go above like 102, really like 100. So I keep the hot tub at 99 because that's what I like.
My dad,
that's safe for kids then, totally fine.
When my dad retired from the military, he bought himself a hot tub as like a whatever. He always said he was going to buy himself a pink Cadillac. He never did that, but he bought himself a hot tub. And that man would get it as hot as was humanly possible. I've been in it before. It was like 107. Like, was unbelievable. Wow. He just wanted it scorching hot. And he'd sit in there for an hour.
That's
just relaxing and unwinding. Yeah, right? Like, I'd put my foot in and be like, I don't think I can get in. Get in. Don't be a sissy. Like, all right. Okay. I think I'm going to die. No, you're fine.
Man, Austin, his dad might have been harder than your dad.
Well, I mean, my dad was a lieutenant colonel in the military, so he was more of a no nonsense. My older siblings got it way worse than I did. By the time I came around, he was more like, hey.
Was just talking about this last night. I was telling him, I was like, I don't think my younger siblings appreciate how much I did for them growing
There's
up.
No question.
Like,
yeah, the older siblings break in the parent for the younger siblings.
I told him he rolled over like an old puppy.
That is every person I know who has older siblings. Their parents were easier on them than the older siblings.
I have apologized to our oldest son.
So Cole got it the worst?
Oh, yeah. I said, sorry. These are things we didn't know with you.
But
he's got four kids of his own now, too. So he grasped it.
He gets it. Yeah.
There was definitely differences, yeah, even from Cole and I. I could see that. Like,
as evidenced by the fact that Cole doesn't work here and the other two boys do. He's like, no, I got to get out of here. I can't do this anymore. All right, moving on to, first of all, Monique, thank you very much. All that candy was delicious.
That's amazing.
It was.
Yeah. And we've got all the sour stuff that we'll try in a future week.
Oh, good.
If any of it makes it.
I don't trust your and Patrick's stomachs.
I love sour candy. I love sour anything, really. All right. USDA restricts the product of USA label to U.S. grown meat, poultry, and eggs. This is from AgCulture. The new rule takes effect in 60 days. Compliance becomes mandatory on January 1st, 2026. We're encouraging adoption of that rule as quickly as possible. That's Tom Vilasak says. This is, in my opinion, at least a huge win for American producers. So this will stop the shipping in of beef from Argentina, from anywhere in South America, someone repackaging and just slapping on product of the USA. So this has been, we've talked about it a good amount. This has been coming for a while, and it is finally almost here. By the beginning of, what did it say, 2026? It will be mandatory.
So, Brett, have you heard anything on this? Because like I remember back in the day when like cool country of origin labeling was like first coming out, like that was a huge thing. That was when I still was involved in more commercial stuff, and like I'd go to like the classes at AMP or the KMPA show, and like people talked about it all the time. But this seems like it's coming out fairly quickly, so it's not as big of a deal to people, maybe.
Yeah, so when cool came out, it was a real burden to the small processors because they had to figure out how they were going to label it. And so I don't know at this point, since they already have went through that, maybe this is easy. So
things get easier as time changes. And yeah,
well, technology's just changed a lot. I mean, that would have been like early 2000s or something probably.
Yeah.
So
I just find it amazing that you think 2026 is soon. That's still 2 years away in my mind. Well, it is 2 years away.
Yeah, anytime you change something like that, you got to give people a chance to prepare for it. But I don't know. Dylan probably answer that more. He's more in touch with the commercial guys.
Yeah. All right. Updates and challenges in organic food sector. This is from Meat and Poultry. My main note on this, and we'll read some of it, but my main note on this is we need to watch who is going to take the organic labels off their products, because the same thing happened a year or so ago. The USDA started saying, hey, you know that no antibiotics, we're actually going to start looking into that. And there were like three or four processors who were like, we've decided we're going to use antibiotics again. Really? Maybe you don't think you were the whole time and just you knew nobody was checking. So it's much has changed in the U.S. organic food and beverage sector since the U.S. Department of Agriculture or National Organic Program was established in 2000. And 2024 will bring more changes. To ensure organic remains reliable certification for shoppers, NOP issued its strengthening organic enforcement rule that went into effect March 20th, 2023. Operations and certifiers must fully comply with the rule by March 19th, 2024. So that is coming up in no time at all. SOE closes the loopholes that enabled ingredients that do not meet NOP standards to enter the organic supply chain, leading to fraud. Key updates including requiring certification of more of the business at critical links in organic supply chains. Previously, only operations involved in producing, processing, packaging, and labeling organic products required certification. The SOE requires buyers, sellers, brokers, and traders to be certified. So the way I read that is I could buy something, sell it to somebody who is certified organic, and all I had to do was say that this is organic, right? Since if I was a buyer or a broker and I don't have to be certified at that, I mean, that's a huge missing gap in security there.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of the organic stuff over time, I don't quite get. I get the benefit in some of it, but some of how you actually get to be organic stuff, I look at and you actually look behind, it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. So I just, to be honest, I don't pay a lot of attention to it at times just because I think it's shady at times.
Sure.
So
some of it is nonsense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah. I mean, if you think overall labeling, you were talking about, you know, how, you know, when, you know, labeling something that's coming in from out of the country or labeling how something is made here is somebody tries to come up with a rule and there's 100 people trying to figure out how to slide around that rule and to sell their product. So, yeah, it's not that easy.
But it should be some more authority behind the organic label coming up, which is a good thing, I think, at least. Latest meat substitute being developed is beef-infused rice. This is from West Hawaii Today. To cultivate cell-cultured meat, the team mimicked the cellular environment using rice. Rice grains are porous and have organized structures, providing a solid scaffold to house animal-derived cells in nooks and crannies. After 9 to 11 days, the inside and outside of the rice grain start to develop a different texture, nutritional profile, and flavor, which mimics micro beef sushi. I'm normally against all this stuff. Like, they were doing something with injecting pig DNA into soybeans, and I was very against that. But I have to say, that portion of the sentence, which mimics micro beef sushi, sounds amazing. Well, I'm gonna eat some beef sushi rice.
How do they infuse the rice?
You've got me. Do you remember when we talked about scaffolding and lattice? So we were talking about, it was a long time ago, we were talking about cell whatever, and you had to find something with a scaffolding and a lattice for it to be able to actually like grow in. Yeah. So they're using the rice basically as that, at least the scaffolding. I don't know about the lattice part of it, but.
So is it ultimately like, is there actually beef in there? Or do you think we're just getting like the umami flavor? And
it says
that's just what it is.
It says it changes the nutritional profile of it as well.
Huh.
So there's going to be some protein at least added to it. Scares me, but also.
Why?
Probably going to try it.
Why?
I don't know. Let's like, just, why would I try it? Or
no, why would we have to do this? Yeah, we don't have to do
Brett,
this.
He obviously doesn't know. Raising beef is terrible for the environment and the world. How do you
it's
not know
so
these
It's so good
things?
For the environment. Do you understand the process of cattle eating, grazing, fertilizing? Yeah, it's all great
but
for
the
environment.
But the methane, Brett, it's so bad.
No. Don't believe it.
Yeah, no.
I'm a denier. I'm a methane denier.
We try to get that across. We had Greg Henderson on. Have you listened to last week's podcast yet? Mm-mm. So we had Greg Henderson on from Drover's Magazine. And one of the things he and I talked about is he worked with a professor at UC Davis who has put out a couple YouTube videos, and we linked to him. One of them was the real truth about methane, something like that. And it talks about how quickly it breaks down in the environment versus like almost any other gas. So since 1970 something, there has been no new methane added to the environment by the beef industry. Because it's actually less now, because it's basically the same size herd. So what went in 40 years ago has deteriorated and is no longer methane. So what's being added now is just replacing what was already there. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really good article.
Okay. Cool. There's a guy in Canada that I listen to his, or I watch his YouTube videos.
Is it Jordan Peterson?
No. And this guy does a really good job of explaining that, what the cattle grazing and yeah. And how it's good for the land. So
no, okay.
This guy is amazing.
Who is he? You're laughing like you. Who is it?
Quick Dick McDick.
If you've never seen it,
no, he's told me about it. That's right. This is my reaction to when you told me this at the.
He's a farmer in Saskatchewan.
Yeah,
not Saskatchewan.
Not what you would picture, but he's just a hardcore farmer in the middle of Saskatchewan. Like it's cool.
That's why he puts out
some awesome videos.
That's why we're all smiling at the name. Okay, got it. New York sues beef producer for fraudulent climate marketing. New York State Attorney General Letitia James sued beef producer JBS in state court for allegedly misleading the public about a pledge that company made to slash the climate pollution in the coming decade. Prosecutor said JBS continued making deceptive marketing claims, even after Consumer Watchdog Group recommended the company stop advertising because it didn't have any strategy to achieve its climate target. So all the we're going to be carbon neutral by 2045 is just something they say. Don't do anything.
So if we come out with
our new initiative, John?
Actually, we have a legit one. We do. Yeah.
What is it?
What are you doing?
Well, we're building a new building. Do you want to talk about it?
I don't know. Do we want to talk about it?
I don't care.
Go ahead.
No reason.
We can't. Well, we have to talk about it.
Right.
Now.
You can't not.
Now we have to talk about it?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with our initiative? Just that we're. Oh, yeah.
We're working towards climate neutral.
It's a more green. Yeah. It's a climate neutral. And yeah. No, it's actually better for the climate, way better for the climate because of lots of reasons. And we'll be glad to discuss those after the podcast.
Fair point.
So we are a few days away from being the contract being valid or whatever I guess you'd say on the sale of our current facility, and we are entering a year-long process of building a new facility, and our whole operations will move a couple miles away from where we are now, and we'll have a new larger building with a lot more space in it for all kinds of activities.
For all sorts of green activities and abilities.
And so I just got off the phone talking about solar power, about solar stuff. Yeah, I just talked with a company today about it. It just kind of came up last week that, hey, you guys might want to think about it. So had about an hour-long conversation today with folks on some solar power and how that might work. So we might use a little of that, but we'll use it because it's effective.
What, like solar paneling on the roof?
Yeah, on the roof. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have a big roof. We'll have about 100,000 square foot building. So we'll have a lot of roof. So a lot bigger warehouse and some more office space than we do now.
What is this building? Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, all together with the building, the main building here and the buildings and that are on the property here that we use for storage, we have about 60,000 square feet here.
Oh, wow. So it is going to be significantly bigger.
So it's 100,000 square feet, but it also, the warehouse has 30-foot ceilings. And now we have 20-foot ceilings in our warehouse. And our warehouse that has 20,000, our warehouse currently that has 20-foot ceilings is only about 15,000 square feet with the high ceilings. We'll have about 80,000 square feet of 30-foot high ceilings.
Okay, we talked about this on the live stream, the last one, because Austin said that they were 24 feet or something. And I said,
current ones?
Yeah, the current ones. I said, definitely not. They're definitely bigger than 24 feet. And I say that because I compare any time anything's like 20 to 25 feet and like, would Jaws fit in that? And Jaws would fit with room for our, so I asked Taylor and he said there are portions of it that are like 34 feet or something.
No, you wouldn't be that high. But so we have 20 foot clearance at the eaves currently. So by the time you get to the peak, it's probably 26, 28 feet. The new building would be 30 feet. So in the very middle of it, at the peak, it would be 38 feet.
He says, so. Taylor says he believes it's 30 to 32 at the peak here.
Well, no, I don't want to say it to the public live, but no. Taylor's wrong.
Okay.
It couldn't have a bigger climb on the peak than our new building works. Our new building's bigger. Like it, yeah. This one, it can't have more of a peak.
God.
So worst case, 8 feet. 8 foot more than the eaves.
Sorry. When you are confirming it's basically 20-something feet, all I'm thinking is Jaws was huge.
Huh,
so scary.
The what? The south side of the warehouse? Uh-huh. Jaws would... How big is Jaws?
25 feet.
Oh, Jaws would not fit on the south side of the warehouse.
Right. But it would fit in the middle.
It's large.
That's insane. Ugh. Good reminder to not go in the ocean. Dave in AZ is currently in Hawaii. I had to put something on the post. I said, please don't go into the ocean.
Wait,
don't know,
but when do you hear about shark attacks in Hawaii? I always hear about it like East Coast and Australia.
No, Hawaii bad for shark attacks.
Well, you're just
really.
Oh yes,
you're selective on the news stories you bring up. Then most, most of them I remember that we bring up are like East Coast of the U.S. and Australia.
Yeah, no, most of them are in Australia because that's where great whites are, and those are the ones that really we should be worried about. But no, yeah, there's been in the last like 2 years, there's been 7 or 8 like fatal shark attacks off Hawaii.
I think this is not good. I think the social media gurus out there are making a connection between you and me, or they're listening
to
our conversations.
More shark stuff?
I'm starting to get shark videos. I just now realized that I watched one last night of a kid catching a shark on a fishing pole. It was like a 6 foot tiger shark or something like that.
Yeah. And they're terrifying animals, man.
You just made me think of something, John. So I got a new robot back, and I was setting it up last night, and it's a shark. And so it said name it, so I named it Baby Shark.
Oh, God.
So it goes around the basement.
Where is that? Do you remember
Baby
that?
Baby Shark.
Who did that? Was it Colton? Do you remember the video of Brett singing Baby Shark?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. We got a strike on it for YouTube, a copyright strike. We put it up so that everyone could see it.
Huh. I don't remember.
That's like 4 years ago or something.
The only one
it
I remember
awesome.
Of like an AI people singing was like
you and I
me doing
yep.
Oh, you can dance.
Yep, we got a strike for that one too. I mean, you know, not a channel strike, just a copyright strike.
Yeah.
All right.
How do other people get away with stuff like that? Because that's all over the internet. How do we get?
And not only that, we got so it within stupid. Like an hour.
Because you guys are so popular.
Yeah. No.
To be honest, I don't know. It's probably not the time and place for conversation. But I think what we do, I think YouTube pushes us down because of the content we do put out being meat related and different things. And I think they don't push things. And when something comes up, we'll get a strike because of the industry we're in.
I mean, it was within less than an hour that we got both of those as strikes. So,
yeah.
All right. Understanding beef byproduct values. So the USDA reports byproduct values in several daily and weekly reports for steers, cattle, and cows. Over the last 15 years, steer byproduct values have averaged $11.70 per hundredweight on a live weight basis. That is roughly $165 a head, or about 9.5% of the total value of the fed steer. In 2009 to 2023 period, steer byproduct values have produced value, or that's a weird way to say that. Oh, have varied monthly from a low of $5.90 per hundredweight all the way up to $16.59 per hundredweight. As a percent of total feed steer value, the byproduct value has varied from 6.2 to 13%. Mm. Were you aware of this at all?
I know over the years, like some of the value has changed. I don't know really what that is, but it'd be interesting to see what Brett has to say on it. But the guys that come into a meat plant and will take away the byproducts. I want to say it used to be
awful
that they would take it away for free.
Right.
And then you had to pay them to take it away. And that changes over time. Do you have further thoughts there? I feel like you probably have a better history on knowing what that was like.
Well, I mean, yeah, for the small processor, but you got to remember the large processors, all that's getting used, all that's being sold. I mean, they don't let anything go.
Some of the items that were in the article, it goes into medicine. Like they're using some of it in the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, obviously there's the skin, the
collagen casings,
collagen, all of that. But it was a very varied list of items. But yeah.
The small processor, they have to have their offal hauled out, and a lot of that doesn't get in sold. I mean, most of those people that are buying that are probably, I think they're doing it for like dog food and stuff.
Mm, that would make sense. All right. Beef prices are not expected to be impacted by the Texas wildfire. I don't understand how that's possible. It is the largest wildfire in Texas history, and it seemed to have hit a very densely populated is the wrong word, but it seemed to really affect a lot of cattle ranches.
But a million acres in the Texas and Oklahoma panhandle, how many 8 million acres are there in the panhandle?
I mean, grass grows back very fast too, though.
Yeah, especially this time of year.
And also,
people are intentionally burning off. Uh-huh. This time
killed
of year.
Most of those cows.
Yeah. That's the question. Did cows die?
I thought we were just talking about grass.
Okay. Because if it's just grass, I mean, the whole Flint Hills gets not the whole, but quote unquote, the whole Flint Hills gets burned over the next month here.
Yeah.
And there are. That can't be right. Oh, that's square miles. There's 25,823 square miles. Doesn't say how many square acres. Hold on, I can find it.
640 acres per mile.
640 acres per mile?
Uh-huh. Yep, per square mile.
640 times 25. What did we say? It was 25,000 something. 823. So we'd be looking at 16 million.
It's only like a 50 by 30 mile area.
But they're
not very big.
But they don't.
I mean, it is, but look how big Texas is.
I mean,
is.
That's huge, though. They didn't say what?
They say how many cattle? Just how many?
I don't have any. Oh, okay. I don't have any input on that. All right. This is the article we kind of talked about.
And I don't mean to diminish it because I'm sure the people that were there.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure
it was
a big loss for them. Yeah.
The revolution that died on its way to the dinner table. Between 2016 and 2022, investors poured almost $3 billion into cultivated meat and seafood companies. Yet despite nearly a decade of work and a great many messianic pronouncements, it's increasingly clear that a broader cultivated meat revolution was never a real prospect, and definitely not within the few years we have left to avert climate catastrophe. So that last sentence, you know, or last portion of that sentence, whatever. But it is becoming increasingly clear. More and more people are waking up to the fact that cell cultivated meat, lab grown meat is not a viable option. It's currently, there are three places in the world where you can buy it and only through specific restaurants. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't believe it's cell cultivated meat. I think it's just regular meat that they're selling as that. I don't think anyone's fully brought it to market. So much of our industry, or not our industry, but so much of the food industry has some level of fraud to it. I mean,
bring up the Italian Parmesan.
That's what I always go back to that. Because nobody knew it. And they're like, oh, no, this has been happening for 20 years. Like, it's always been like this. So, all right. Sausage recall after pieces of rubber found in products. We don't have to worry about this one. It was found in turkey sausage. I'm fairly sure none of us eat turkey sausage. So
what? That's all we eat at the house.
Well, the three of us are safe. You might be eating rubber back there. FDA to finally outlaw soda ingredients prohibited around the world. BVO is the thing that they're going to go ahead and make illegal. But BVO is brominated vegetable oil. What is brominated vegetable oil doing in your soda?
Oh, I don't know. Is that in Diet Mountain Dew? Do I have a problem?
As long as it's not in Diet Canada Dry, I couldn't care less.
Is it in Fresca?
Well, there's There's kind of a green bottle in the back there and an orange one. So is this a stock image?
I'm guessing it's Fanta.
Because if it's Sunkist or it's Mountain Dew, those are two sodas I typically drink. I got
problems. I've never seen you drink a Sunkist.
I don't have often.
A lot
it's,
of sugar too, dude.
Well,
do you like, drink a diet?
Diet Sunkist. Okay. I don't drink
those. Regular. Don't have a lot of sugar.
Those have a lot of sweetener.
To be honest, half the time I'll place like a Walmart pickup and like I'll put Diet Sunkist on there, and then when I go to pick it up, they're like, we don't have it. It's I don't know. It's hard to get. You don't find it very often, but
I'm pretty sure that. This is the number one selling diet ginger ale, Dylan's, maybe in the country. Simply because I'm not even kidding you. It is always on sale now. Like it never used to be on sale. It is literally every time I go in there, it's 2 for $5. So
that's a great deal.
It is a great deal. I love it. All right. Why is the Tyson plant in Perry, Iowa closing? We don't really need to talk about that, but it is a big deal. A lot of employees are getting impacted by this. And while they say at one point, they don't know if the plant closure will be permanent, stuff has come out after that article that it is closing and not coming back. So I think it says it's something like 580 something employees are just out jobs.
So I know Tyson's more than just chicken strips, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're the yep. head of whatever, but I was in the frozen food section the other day, specifically looking for strips.
Right.
And my entire life, like that's just what my mom would bring home was like Tyson, the red bag. You recognize the logo. It's on semi trucks. If that didn't exist, and if we're not fans of it, what do you get besides that? I shifted to Perdue, I think it's the brand is called P-E-R. And then, yeah, so I don't know what else. It's like a very limited, it's like them two and then two other things. And it's just like, you're kind of just trusting the advertisement on the bag or the fact that one's a dollar off over the other. So I don't really know what you guys look for or if that's even on your palate appeal, so to speak.
Chicken strips, not really. Every once in a while, the chicken nuggets.
They're like bite size.
Yeah. Those I'll get every once in a while, but yeah, not really chicken strips. But yeah, no, it's Tyson.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was going to get some, it would be Tyson because that's what I'm used to.
I'm just going to get whatever's cheap because I don't expect high quality when I'm getting chicken. If I want high quality, I'm going to go buy
meat and stuff anyway.
Beef.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder about that plant closing. They said, you know, it'd been there for, I don't remember how 60 long.
60 years.
50 years. So was the plant really closing because the pork market is... tough. Was it financial struggles of the pork market, or is it just that the reality is that plant's really old, and to try to keep it upkeep would is beyond what it's worth, and they'd be better off starting over somewhere and be more efficient somewhere.
Probably
because with labor costs, your biggest cost anymore, you can go build a new building and maybe pay for it.
Yeah, and. Be interesting to see, does Tyson open up another plant in the next 2 years somewhere, or do they expand where they're at? Which some, I was asking Dylan about that the other day, because they're releasing more grant money and some just got released that's specifically supposed to help small processors. But part of it in there, was for like expansion of plants. And so I was asking Dylan, I'm like, are you sure that there's no way that big plants are getting in on that? Because they've only released like 10% of what the funds are. Yeah. And so people were kind of concerned, like, well, how many phases is this? Is like, where's the rest of it coming? What's going on? Do the big boys know a secret way in there and they're going to get a bunch of money to expand plants?
Some has to line people's pockets, Austin. Yeah. I mean, come on.
But if I'm reading this right, though, Tyson employs 9,000 people, 1,276 people were laid off. So that's like 15% of the workforce. That's
a big chunk.
That's a lot. So if they do move it around, it ought to be visible somewhere because that's a chunk.
Give me those numbers again.
1,276 people
were laid off at this one plant.
The closure expected to leave all employees without work. Wow. 9,000 total. 9,000 total people is what Tyson employs.
So if they're really going to build something else or expand a newer plant to cover that, so if we build this new building, Austin, then can we reduce our workforce by 15%?
Probably.
You know, I wonder who we could cut out, like media,
Listen, you have enough footage of me and definitely enough of my voice that you could recreate me.
That's right.
No problem.
We're going to use AI to create new videos using your voice, John.
It's out there. I'm telling you, people are doing it. You know,
that is a random thing, but that's the thing to keep in mind. We move, new studio set, you're going to want to make all new videos because you wanted to when we moved over here.
Yeah.
Of course, you also, we actually had a nice full background and setup, and we tried to do our last background over there wasn't at the gray.
Yep.
And so it was very plain. So this was more spruced up.
Mm-hmm. I was going to just buy the same cabinets for over there. So it looks exactly the same.
To be honest, the cabinets could be the same. We'd probably do something different on the backsplash tile. No reason. I mean, you probably won't find the same.
No, I doubt that's still out there.
I don't think cabinets, whatever.
I'm pretty sure I just bought that at Menards. It's all peel and stick. It's just stuck up there.
I really want to know.
I'm surprised that stayed as well as it has, actually.
What this room gets turned into after we leave.
Well, whatever it goes.
They're going to love having this.
They're not getting this. I will come in here in the middle of the night and take this thing. I'll figure out a way to make it happen.
I'm with you, John. It should go. We should take it.
We should take this. I spent too long.
Yeah, I just don't want to be one of the ones that has to carry the thing. We had how many guys did it take to carry this tabletop in here? Like nine?
Yeah, I think we had eight or nine.
Because this is a big stinking piece of granite or quartz or whatever.
Out the door, and then you just get it out the door onto a cart or this base, and then from there on, you don't have to do anything because your new place will have double doors going into it.
Yep. Yeah, but you got to get this tipped on an angle and through a door.
We can get it tipped on. I mean, we got it up here.
I know, but it wasn't fun. We can get it down.
Hey, of course it wasn't fun, but it's still worth trying.
We got guys here today.
I was in shape when we did that. Now right, I'm fat and old. You then.
We got guys. We'll get some younger people to do it.
I'm like John. I'm on John's side because it's cheaper.
Yes, it's much cheaper.
Yeah.
And we only paid I want to say that we got this. I want to say we only paid like $400 for this top or something.
And it was in that range. It was not very expensive.
But then John built the base.
Yep.
You know what that cost us?
A lot.
I mean, what there we paid John and how many hours that would take him?
This was before COVID and before wood was expensive, though.
And it's all cheap. There were a lot of pieces that had to be thrown out because they were cut wrong. Got to start that portion over. All right. My only note on this one is buckle up for this. Tapeworm found in brain of U.S. man who ate undercooked bacon.
No.
Now, hold on. The undercooked bacon part is just a theory. They can't tie it to that. Why they're doing that is because they interviewed him. Like, have you been to any of these areas? Have you come into contact with him? And he had none of that. He's like, homebody, doesn't go out, doesn't travel. So the one thing that he did is he's like, my entire life I've eaten like very floppy bacon. So they're assuming that's what it is.
Yeah, but even floppy bacon is, I mean, to get bacon crispy, you're cooking it up to like 250.
Yeah, it's way over. I mean, it hits 160. How fast in a frying pan? I mean, it's fast.
I would guess pretty fast. But so if however it got in there, he was having migraines, so he went and got a CAT scan. They're like, you've got a bunch of cysts in your brain. So they went and found, and it's this, I can't remember what it is. It's a tough name, clonoxtrotinism or something like that. But then when they were going to treat it, they're like, well, there's a good chance that what happens is the cysts are going to expand and put more pressure on your brain. So follow this, see what happens to this guy, but not a good thing.
Yeah, well, and I reject all that uncooked bacon stuff because
you want to.
No, because when I was in high school and I worked in a locker, I worked at Richard's Cold Storage in Valley Center, and that was my winter job all through high school. And I ran the 180 bacon slicer for him when I was in there. And yeah, one for you, two for you. No, I didn't that much, but stuff would like fall off or whatever, you know, and you couldn't put it in. Well, I still ate it. And the lady that Darlene Richards, that her and her husband ran at the time, she's like, you shouldn't be eating all that. But it never affected me.
That we know of.
I ate a lot of it in 3 years.
But yeah, just something to keep an eye on. I also want to point out that they don't know that it was the bacon. That's just the best that they could figure out. There is also a whole portion of it that you don't want to read that's disgusting on how it could possibly be passed on. So just stop reading.
Yeah.
You don't want to read it. Moving on. We'll
probably skip. Lettuce.
Yes, it's well, the one thing I always take away, and Patrick will say the same thing from talking to Dylan all the time, is don't get sprouts on any of your sandwiches. Like, that is the number one cause of food poisoning is sprouts.
It can't be washed and cooked like other things is. Yeah, you're just as likely or more to get sick off of eating vegetables as you are meat.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's skip that last story because it's kind of stupid. Going to a wild card. Let's scroll down to the bottom of the picture so we can all look at that. That thing is alive and well.
No.
Yep.
That looks fake.
That's alive and well.
Pat did that in the graphics department.
It's a two-faced calf. It was born about, I think they said, 6 months ago, and it is like flourishing and doing well. I think it's in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Look at that thing. Is that not freaky?
You know, though, I could see, I mean, I assume that's not intentional, so, but I could see intentionally, I mean, doing some changes to animals. I mean, like
giving them two heads.
No, a hog with two bellies. You got twice as much bacon. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do something and genetically modify something.
Okay, it kind of does, but let's jump into the third story down then. It's Montana man pleads guilty after creating and selling giant hybrid sheep for hunting. So this guy sent off for something called an Apollo sheep that's from some other country. It's basically the largest sheep in the world. He was getting parts of it, taking the DNA from it, sending it into a lab to have them create embryos, and then implanting those embryos on bighorn sheep on his property, and then selling the offspring to it. First of all, he's 80 years old, and they arrested him for this. I feel like it's just like, hey, 80-year-old, you're not Dr. Frankenstein. Calm down. You can't do this anymore. You don't need to arrest the guy for it. Second of all, that's some ingenuity. Like, that's not a simple thing to do, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I wonder how it's illegal.
It violates the Lacey Act. And the interstate trade of wildlife that has been taken, possessed, transported, or sold in violation of federal or state laws. And also something about it being falsely labeled. So, I don't know. But he did create enormous sheep for hunting. So, he owns like this huge alt game preserve, and he sells to a lot of game preserves in Texas. And he was creating huge sheep. Yeah. But, all right. Now,
I know some of those guys in Texas have those.
This one might be a little bit, spicy is the right word, the top one. I saw a video on this and I laughed out loud as I was walking my dogs. Nope, not this one. Go back to there and go to the very top.
You skipping all around.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Go to the very top of Wildcard. So this is called Crippling Hot Sauce. And this was done by a kid who had gotten 4.0 grades his entire high school career. He had never gotten anything less than an A. He had to submit a school project for one of his classes, and his teacher gave him a B because he thought it was unrealistic. Well, the kid stopped basically school and was like, nope, I'm going to make this work. Like, this is a viable business and I'm going to show you. So he calls it Crippling Hot Sauce. He has cerebral palsy and he thinks it's awesome because he says you don't often see people with, you know, my condition get shown as people who have sense of humors. So his hot sauce ratings are just for the parking, crippling agony, and limping. And it's awesome. Hearing this kid talk, I was like, oh yes, I love this kid. So I've got an order coming in for some crippling hot.
That's cool.
Hot sauce. Cause it, honestly, just listening to him talk was great. So really, really cool. Made me laugh. I thought it was interesting.
That's neat.
At least 9 dead, 78 hospitalized from eating sea turtle meat.
Okay. First problem, you ate sea turtle meat.
Right.
Second problem. What'd you get sick from? Was it undercooked?
No, there is some
undercooked.
There's some thing
chilling
in it,
like a toxism.
Yeah, it's
a rare, toxic, potentially deadly type of food poisoning,
and it apparently got through to everybody. But yes, I think in general we can all agree that sea turtles shouldn't be eaten.
Why?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like something. Right. Like,
tastes like chicken.
I know sailors used to bring tortoises
probably
on ships with them because they could feed them almost nothing and then eventually eat them when they needed. But just like in general, a sea turtle doesn't seem like it would be.
You ever ate turtles?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ate turtles?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just like box turtles?
No, like snappers. You get them out of a pond, whatever. Catch them on limb lines.
Wait,
great excitement. When you pull a turtle, big snapping turtle, off a limb line and you bring it up and drop it in the floor of a John boat.
Yeah.
It's great excitement.
I can imagine. But, so were you intentionally going for turtles?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what did you describe the taste as, Brett?
Chicken.
What, okay.
No, they say there's 8 kinds of meat in a turtle. I didn't eat all the different different spots. We've talked
about this before.
But yeah, that's what they say. And I mean, it does taste different, the different parts. And it was okay.
Okay.
It was a long time ago.
Well, in the future, don't eat any more turtle meat. They carry something really.
Okay. Yeah, I always have in my head that just turtles, reptiles in general, carry a lot of disease. Might be wrong.
I know,
but that's what I have baked in my head.
Skip the whole Arby's section. I'm saving that for a future thing. 2 dozen cows found dead on Kentucky property. So this is the third article we've seen in the past like 6 months of small to medium-sized ranchers having large numbers of their herd just dead almost simultaneously.
I like how they say the story is developing, will be updated, and then they didn't update it.
Yeah, that's from a while ago, too.
Conspiracy.
Like the fifth.
The fifth, yeah. So no update on it, but large, like, from what I can tell, had they been killed, like had somebody walked onto his property and shot them, there'd be, you know, that'd be part of the story.
You'd think.
Right? So, yeah. But this is, I think, the third or fourth that we've heard of in the last 6 months that are similar to that. So who knows what's going on there? Skip the GAR attack because it's not as interesting as I thought. Scientists say they're closer to reviving mammoths. What could go wrong? I mean, what could go wrong is in the headline. So a lot would be the answer. They're wanting to revive woolly mammoths, put them up in the Arctic tundra, and they think that that will transform the Arctic tundra from the Arctic tundra into like arable land again.
Hmm. Is that what they were talking about doing of putting like making like... I don't know. Making something, putting it in like a Indian elephant for gestation.
Yep. But they're there now. They have the elephant that they need to carry it already bred. Like it has to have certain genetic whatever. They already have that. So now they would just have to create.
Just sounds like a bad idea.
It sounds like a terrible idea to me.
Unless it turns out to be like Wagyu beef. Like then maybe we got something because it's large.
They'll be gone but in no time not, again because we'll all just go eat them.
Yeah, but if it's not, then let's just stay away from that.
Did you ever see there's an old movie with Matthew Broderick called The Freshman? Are you aware of this movie at all? Marlon Brando's in it. Whole thing is Marlon Brando runs a pop-up restaurant from here to there that serves like extinct or endangered animals. I always thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, who would pay for that? But I would definitely pay to go eat a woolly mammoth. So that movie makes a little bit more sense to me now. FDA says it's found lead in several more cinnamon products in the U.S. So don't eat cinnamon sticks.
How do you get lead in that?
My initial thought was lead or cinnamon is just tree bark, right? So if there's high amounts of lead in the ground. That was my thought, but
that's weird.
Yeah. They don't really seem to know. All right. We've run significantly over. Brett, thank you for joining
us. Sorry.
No, you're good.
No, I thought you were saying, Brett,
it was
your fault
that we ran over. No, we always.
You guys did your normal talk, and then I added in on top of that, and that ran us over.
No, we don't actually have a timeline. We just have a time we think people will continue to listen before they're like, all right, I'm done. No more of this. We think that's right about an hour.
I think it's
about 30 minutes.
I have in my head that people listen to us like I listen to like the podcasts I love and follow.
Sure.
And like I just like to be honest, it is like the app center screen right in the middle on my homepage
is
like Pocket Casts.
Oh, and so okay.
Like, It's my go-to every day. When a new episode comes out, it could be half an hour, it could be 2 hours. It adds on my list, and I'm gonna listen to it.
You know, Google Podcasts is still very much updating all the podcasts and stuff, right?
Oh, it's not going too soon.
When that was, we've already passed the date when it was supposed to stop.
Uh-uh. It's like April.
Well, that makes me upset because that's the one I use.
We're about to find out. April 2nd, 2024. Hopefully it's not an April Fool's Day joke. I can see Google playing the long game on something like that.
I could have seen Google do it. Google doesn't have the sense of humor it used to have.
Yeah, that's probably true. No. But I would be gone. I would not be coming back because they made me sour. But I found an app that I love, and I'm stuck with
it. That's called Pocket Cast?
Pocket Cast.
Okay, I'll check it out. All right, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics Podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltons.com. To get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Waltons, everything but the meat.